What's up, everybody? This is Carrick with ACG, and I'm here with Silver, Johnny, and Reg, and we're doing the international podcast slash the co-stream for Cyberpunk 2077. If you guys have any ideas of what you want to see from that stream, I'd like to hear them. Yeah, we're a little bit smaller. We've got the I've adjusted the way we're set up a little bit just so you guys can see when they're starting, and we can get that countdown, and I can watch it here live in my OBS stream. I can see how beautiful we are, and we will go to that when it starts. I think it starts in, it says 32 minutes. It's supposed to be a 15-minuter, I think. 15 minutes of gameplay plus some kind of walkthrough. I ate a bunch of sugar today. My teeth are yellow. I ate a bunch of nerds. Does anybody eat nerds? Do you guys know what those are? Do you guys have that candy?
Yeah, I do. I know what that is, but only via import. We don't have them.
Oh, here. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Is there a fat tax? Like you import something from America and they're like, listen, dude. Seriously.
No.
Like Twinkies, they're all...
It's just expensive because they import it, but that's it.
Oh, gotcha. What's up, podcast crew? Well, we're just getting started. Michelle subscribed. Thank you very much for 14 months in a row. Michelle's been here forever. Let's look up at some of these people. Andy, I saw Andy pop back in. We got another origin story for Andy we'll go through. Dopey Joe, 3 months in a row. You rock. Thank you very much. The Mad Baker. The Mad Baker, 13 months in a row? Mr. Potato Head, 8 months in a row. We have some long-termers here. We have some people who just don't know how to improve their lives, and I love it. Thank you. Great Cthulhu Games, 5.
They can't find the unsubscribe option.
Yeah, no shit. Or they'll be like me and hit follow, unfollow, because I can't tell if I'm following. I'll look at the little bar on somebody's page and be like, is that? And then especially I had that one time where I was where Twitch unfollowed me from a bunch of people. So also, anybody from YouTube, thank you very much for showing up. I absolutely appreciate it. Bjork, what's up, buddy? Subscribe for 4 months. Bjork, are you? No, you must not be out on a boat. Because Bjork goes out on trips on that boat and he works on. Did he say he has internet, Reg? Do you remember when we were talking to him? Maybe he's out on a boat listening to us.
I think he said they were like pretty much disconnected when they were on the boat.
Too bad, because I'd love for him to be like, hey, Captain, let's ignore what we're doing right now. Let's watch. So moving on from there, what do we have? We have a bunch of stuff that we're going to discuss today. We're going to discuss Control. We're going to discuss Man of Medan. People got mad at me, but one thing I did notice when I watched everybody else's reviews, they even started joking about it. Man of Medan. Nobody knows how to pronounce those things. We're all told different stuff. So we're going to cover that, what our thoughts are for me, and then if these guys are getting it. These guys have all played Control. So we'll talk about that. We will talk about, let's see, what else? Greedfall. We're going to talk a little bit about that. We're going to talk about our hopes for Cyberpunk. And let's see if I missed anything. I'm sure I have because I don't have the list in front of me. What else do we got on that list? World of Warcraft Classic came out. And people have been absolutely all over that. So
yeah.
Not 100% sure what they think of it. I know Abzi says he's really digging it. But did any of you guys?
No.
No? Nobody's checking it out? One thing I noticed with the way Abzi plays, and then I was watching Azralin, is they zoom so far out that the cool artistic atmosphere of the game is sort of gone for me. The guy's this big.
Yeah.
And it just...
You're playing an RTS.
Yeah. Dude, you're playing League of Legends straight up. Yeah. Like, I was watching it, and Abzi plays... zoomed in and out, but most of the time out, and he told me, he's like, I just sort of do that. But I think it's because when you're in the big raids and stuff, that helps, you know, when you scan everybody. But it's weird. I would like to see some way around that so you can still see the art. Neth says Blair Witch Steam reviews are not doing great. Sorry. I had a choke in my throat. Yeah, I definitely saw that for sure, that they weren't doing the best. What's up, Danwin? So let's talk about Control. Let's just go down the list. Who wants to go first? Okay, nobody? Nobody wants to talk about it? You're all like, I'm just joking. They're not like that, anybody. Does anybody want to go first?
No, it's just I'm not that far into the game yet. So I don't know. Like,
well, what do you think about the starting then?
My impressions are. I'm liking it quite a lot so far. Like, it feels very Sam-like. Like we've talked a bit about Kojima as like an auteur, and I think Sam Lake is another like auteur in gaming, like from Max Payne to Alan Wake.
And if anybody doesn't know what auteur means, it means prissy bitch to anybody who doesn't have a source. Continue by all means. I'm just joking. Continue.
Pretty much, yeah. But yeah, I mean, he's basically been Remedy's story guy since day one. Mm. And I really like sort of the callbacks to like just Remedy history here, both in terms of like the actors, like James McCaffrey's here. I forget the guy who played Alan Wake, but he's here as well. They're both prominently featured. And there are like Easter eggs and callbacks and so forth to previous Remedy games. And the gameplay is fun, like the shooting, especially like the destructibility of the environment. Mm-hmm. Really does a lot to make the combat fun. Because, I mean, the enemies are not terribly interesting. The powers are fun to play with. It is a little bit easy, though. There are no difficulty settings in the game. But the game does have, to its credit, it does have a fully adjustable HUD where you can turn features off and on as you need. And I'm always very happy with that. And yeah, I'm liking it a lot. Like, story's interesting. It's really weird. It has that like Twin Peaksy vibe that's sort of been a part of that's been a Remedy staple since Max Payne.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really fun so far. I would say I agree with your criticism that you said in your review about her like Jesse's internal monologues where they get to be a bit much at times. Where frequently the character will say something to her and then she'll think about, like repeat the line that was just said to her. Oh, he just told me this and this and this, even though the person just said it. So you'll basically get the same dialogue twice, like redundant.
Yeah.
And that gets a little tedious.
I was just going to say thanks to Bjork, gave out some subs. You rock. Thank you very much. Also, yeah. I got to say, though, Silver, did you notice how fast she becomes a director? Which some of that's described, but she like shows up and they're all, you're the director. And she's like, I'm here to get my brother. And they're like, director, go do some shit.
I feel more confident being the janitor. Yeah.
Yeah. And she even discusses with the janitor. She's like, as a person who's worked the night crew, I know that it can make you a little antisocial. So I guess I'm in command. And you're all, okay, I guess you are. Like it just sort of loses its mind. Reg is playing
how the building evolves. Like especially in relation to that. Like you go in and there are the portraits of the actual director there. Like Director Trench, and then she becomes the director, and all those portraits get replaced with portraits of Jesse.
Yeah, yeah. Very, very cool overall.
Like the building is this living, kind of this living or shifting organism.
Yeah, for sure.
So,
so what about you, Reg? You've played a good amount of it now.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah, I would say about 8 hours, I would put it at. Very good indeed. I like most of the locations. I love the little hotel you travel between. Where sometimes you just hear people outside trying to get into the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool touches. Some of the weird locations where the building, the floor just starts warping. That's very cool stuff. And of course, my favorite attack, throwing shit. Like throwing stuff all the time.
Greatest thing ever.
I'm only not throwing stuff if it's on cooldown, if I have to wait to recharge. That's really the only time I'm not throwing stuff around. Best skill definitely in the game. I put immediately all my skill points I got into that one tree and then only started branching out into the others once that was filled up. Runs pretty well. Unless you're streaming, then it sometimes dips down. Apart from that, I mean, very good game. I watched the review. I was hovering over the buy button and then finally hit it. Very, very good.
Good, I steered you right for once, one time.
Yes.
There was one game. Oh, yeah, Anno. I'll remember that one forever. Didn't steer Reg right on Anno. What about you there, Johnny? What do you think of it? You played a good amount, too, as well.
Yeah. I'm about 6 hours in. The throwing is so good in the game, right? They really nailed the breaking stuff and tossing shit around the room. It's just really good. And I don't know. I'm trying to think of a game that did it to this level of detail. Obviously, you got your battlefields with destructible terrain and stuff, but outside of that, it's really, really good. And it has a really deep lore, too. I'm someone, when I play games, I read all the texts and, you know, kind of read them out loud and stuff and try to get in the story. And there's a lot there. The more you read, the more you kind of connect stuff and see how, begin to understand how things work. And it seems like there's a cohesive kind of mechanic there, like how things connect and work.
Right.
So it's not just like the Lost TV show where it's just a mystery and nobody knows and you never understand. You really do come to understand how some of these things operate, which is cool. Funny enough, I did have some issues with the controls. You know, I suppose it's a bit ironic, or at least funny, in the sense that if you're playing on keyboard and you're supposed to hold E to toss stuff around, then all of a sudden you can't strafe to the right because you're holding E.
Yeah, I had to switch it.
So I had to use a mouse button for it, but it's not a big deal. You kind of have to find a control scheme that works for you because there's a number of different skills, quite a lot. You know, you got your evasion, you know, different stuff going on, and you need to figure it out a bit. But outside of that, really, it's really pretty. It has a nice balance between locations looking clinical, like very clean, and also visually interesting. So there's enough detail and kind of dirt there, like human, you know, stuff that a human kind of lived there and left stuff out of place. There's enough of that to give it a lived-in feel. But it has that clinical vibe, which you would expect in a facility like this. So, yeah, I think it's really good.
Yeah, I think the lore is probably one of my favorite bits. Reg's stream was killing me because that bastard just wouldn't read shit.
Skips everything.
Yeah. I popped in, I saw him do it once, and I immediately was like, Reg, are you reading stuff? He's like, yeah, I read when I can. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, my God, there's so much cool stuff. Thankfully, Reg responded to the chat and he started reading. He was already reading. It's just not everything because
it's like, just too much for me.
Yeah.
I feel like I would only read then.
Yeah. I would say the lore itself is just incredible. I also want to say we're up to 200 watchers. Thank you, everybody, for showing up. If you get a chance, tweet out that we're doing this. I would love for as many people as possible to watch it. And thanks for the support here, especially as YouTube sucks. Go ahead.
Although coming back to the how fast she becomes director, I find it amazing how fast everyone knows that she is.
Yeah, literally everybody.
That fact immediately went out to everyone. That they are being attacked and what by and what they need to do.
Yep.
I don't know. That got lost. But that you're the director, that shit, everyone got that.
I've talked about
and
it.
And yet you still don't have the damn clearance to access place.
Yeah, and I've talked about it.
I'm the director, so give me your key card.
In multiple reviews, I've talked about, like, you can fuck a duck in one village and some dude in some, you know, Midwestern town
he
somewhere
got the
is
memo.
Like, duck fucker. Yeah, and you're just like, well, how the hell did that, you know, like, how did that information get spread? You change duck fucker with whatever else you want. But that those kind of informational alleys I do not like in games. I like it to either be a slow spread or be contained to the one area. But with this one, it does make more sense when you beat the game. There is some stuff that makes sense, but it's still weird when you're playing it.
I think it also kind of makes sense with it because I kind of just attributed that to just the building, the house, right? The same reason why Jesse's picture was suddenly in all of the paintings instead of Trench. Like, because that was just sort of the building, like, transferring that to her.
Yeah, yeah. And that's not the only thing that updates. There's...
No, yeah.
There's some stuff on the whiteboards that change. There's some cool shit that goes on. And I love that people slowly go nuts as you read the whiteboard. Like, whiteboards, they'll be like, man, who stole my Subway sandwich? Yeah, they'll be like, who stole my Subway sandwich? By the time you get to the end, they're like, having dreams, nightmares of triangles. And you're just like, oh, shit. Stuff went south, man. Stuff went, something went south. It is definitely Alan Wake and Quantum Break 0.5. Like, it's taken all that stuff. I love that they've mixed those lores together too.
I did feel like the beginning of the game felt a lot similar to Prey, to me.
Yeah.
To a large extent, if you ever played that.
In
terms of atmosphere and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Also, the destructibility is phenomenal. Everything is destructible. Everything that is destructible stays broken. And when it breaks, it's different parts. Like, you can tear just one side of a cabinet off and a table will fall.
I noticed that with some of the pillars as well. If you keep pulling stuff from that, it's it's going down to the metal beams.
The one thing that I do, I did talk to John from Digital Foundry, because we usually talk if there's a weird thing with a game and we're reviewing it, and we're like, something's odd here. There's two things I noticed. I had the PC version and the consoles. When you smash people, there is a momentary delay that will sometimes come up. So you will throw a rock, and if you're watching close, you'll get a pop in a frame, like frame 16 to 17, 17's missing. And this came up in my review a lot. And I was like, man, this is really weird. Like, what is this? I was looking at Shadowplay. I was like, is that what it is? Then I did an extra recorder, which is why sometimes I had VSync issues in my actual review, because I had to jump to a different recorder just to see if this issue was popping up. And I was looking at the frame rate counter, and you can see it pegged. It'll be pegged to like 130, 140. And then when you throw something and hit them, it's streaming data, almost like when it turns ragdoll on, it hits the CPU. And so especially in big battles, you'll toss something and it'll go like pop. And if you have a high frame rate, you won't notice it. But I was looking at frame rate counters and I was definitely seeing it. I think they have some optimization there. And then that much destructibility, I don't know why they didn't tune it down for the consoles, because the consoles have some horrendous frame rate. Like I don't know what they were thinking on releasing that in that state, because they could have easily, you know, turned it down and made it a little less CPU intensive for the consoles, because those consoles can be rough. What's up, Zariel? But overall, yeah, man, it's I'm glad you guys are digging it. That game is fun. It was funny to see the devs even state that they sort of made a mistake on the button for throw, which was funny. They were they were like, yeah, that might not have been the best default.
Yeah, no, it isn't.
And I think that's because a lot of them played on controller. If you watch their footage,
yeah,
maybe.
So yep. They played on controller, and it didn't pop up for them. Even though with controller, you still have to do the thing. Usually with a throw game, you don't throw automatically. You tap it, and then you'll hold, and then you tap again to throw. This game, you hold it to hold.
Yeah,
which is where I think the problem comes into, because normally you just be like, grab this guy, run off. You're able to use all your face buttons, jump and leap and dash and do all the shit, dive, and then throw when you want to tap it again. And this one's hold on to it. And that can be, I when I first got it, I was like, okay, moving to the right, a little bit more difficult than I would like. But, you know, you got a mouse and keyboard. If your mouse has even a single other button, you can switch it. It's not too hard. I also like the mixture
default,
of moves.
I think it's middle mouse button.
And I can't use the middle mouse button very well when it comes to those games, because I have a tendency to scroll when I tap it.
Hmm.
So, like, if mine scrolls and there's a scroll function in the game, instead of, like, firing the alt fire, I'll switch weapons in the middle of a battle. But, just because of the way I hold the mouse. So,
yeah.
Right. Hal says, yeah, the holding confused my brain. So, yeah, thank you, everybody, for showing up. I absolutely appreciate it. This is the Better with Friends group as well, when you've got Johnny and Reg. One day we'll get Silver to stream more often, and he'll do it. If you look down on my stream, you can see the Better with Friends tag underneath the name of this stream. That's these guys plus Citizen Sleeve and Swamp Donkey. The Swamp Donkey. Did he change his name to The?
Not yet.
Not yet.
It's still
Swamp Donkey. He's a little pimpish. But we will be doing more streaming. You'll definitely see that, especially as YouTube continues their outrageous desire to, make it so it's not fun to upload to YouTube anymore. Yeah. So, you'll still see reviews there from me, obviously, if you're from YouTube and you're wondering if that's going to continue. It definitely will. Speaking of reviews, Greedfall's coming. You'll see that. Not 100% sure we can talk about the embargo. So you'll see it. Sorry, I'm counting on my calendar, and I didn't flip the calendar yet because it's on the 30th.
I think it's out on the 10th.
Yep, September 10th. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, you'll see it a little bit before that. Okay. That's pretty much all I can say. Let's talk about Man of Medan. Man of Medan. Easily worst embargo I've ever dealt with. If you're a new YouTuber or a new Twitch streamer, and you're like, hey, man, I want to get a code, and you can't figure out why somebody's streaming a full 5 days before you, that's because there's different tiers. But this is the first one I've ever dealt with that different review tier times, meaning one person was able to release their review before others. They all had different tier times. And it's one of the first times I've been lied to as well. And, you know, there was a lot of myths when I came into reviewing where it's like, oh, this and this will happen. And those things didn't turn out to be true. Like even my own myths I had about reviewing. I'm like, right. That's not as true as I thought it was. This isn't as true. But that one I've never seen before. I've never seen them say you can review it. Even if you have code, I can review it, but it has to be a day later or 8 hours later. Or so. It was insanely weird review timing on that. But it came out, didn't set the world on fire, still somewhat enjoyable. Is anybody here going to get that? Or got it?
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
I'll be getting it over the weekend and probably playing it with Lemon Streak.
Okay. Yeah, that'd be you doing the online thing?
Yeah.
Or is he coming? Yes. Okay. Because I know he lives close enough to technically come over if he wanted. Reg, Johnny, sounds like a no for Man of Medan.
I think I'm going to follow your advice on this one and wait for a deep sale.
Wait for a sale, yeah. It, man, it's rough. I don't know any other way to say it. I don't even want to diss on it because there's enjoyable parts, but the writing, the writing is rough as hell. And there are multiple times where you're sitting
there. The changing
there,
hair color. Yeah.
The changing hair color. Things that you really can't believe have been done. Shark. And here, and there's my, here, maybe, here, I'll play them a sample.
Come at me, shark!
Come at me, shark! So, when you're playing
your
that game,
yeah.
When you're playing that game, it is crazy how bad some of the discussion is. One of the characters is dropping, I said in the review, French, like jokes in French, then says cahoots, which is totally a Southern America thing. Like, they're in cahoots. Yeah. You know, that's like a Batman, 1970s Batman cartoon, where somebody would be like, they're in cahoots.
And that's then, all a bunch of malarkey.
Yeah, that's all a bunch of malarkey, right? But it's the same people. And then they'll say something like, you know, like, come at me, shark. And she does. I mean, I don't know any other way to say it. When you see that scene, I was laughing so, I was just sitting there, and she's like, there's a shark? There's a shark now? Come at me, shark! And I was like,
how impressive it is that she's actually talking with like the scuba gear.
Well, they did explain that they've got the the face open version of the scuba gear, but here's weird. They also have the full in your mouth respirator part or the,
that's what it looked like. Yeah. That's why.
So they've got two models and this is the roughness of this game. I don't know if anybody saw my review who's watching the stream, but they legitimately changed the girl's hair color in the cutscene. She's a brunette. She comes up. It almost looks like a different facial structure on the person. And she's like talking. And then, and this is before any decisions are made, FYI. So it's not like you've made a decision and it's a bad branch. It's the starting of the game and you're playing it and she's just blonde and she's like whitish blonde, you know, like the bleach.
Yeah.
It was one of those times you're like, okay, that's different.
How did that get past any sort of QA?
I legit don't know. And that's why I put it in the review because something like that's crazy. Like if there's a glitch in Collision or something, we see that in Control. We see that in Remnant. You see that and stuff. It won't bother me as much, but when they forget to
when you sit in editing in like filmmaking, you sometimes overlook stuff because you sit and edit the same scenes over and over and over, so you kind of get blind to it. You get like blind spots where you don't notice stuff. Like that's how you get stuff like the infamous like Starbucks cup of coffee
in
Game of Thrones, right?
Yeah. Game of Thrones also had a pickup.
But here. Yeah, but here, I mean, you have programmers like scripting and like animating the models and stuff in the scene. And it's just it's puzzling. Yeah.
Well, and you have people playing the game for QA later, too, right? And they will pick up on this.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, you do have people. Yeah, I don't know. It was crazy. It was weird.
It seemed that graphically it was a bit of a step back, too, compared to like Until Dawn, because Until Dawn blew me away with the graphics for the time. And on the original PS4, even it looks really, really good.
Yeah, and you know
what? This was like a bit
rough. Yeah, and what's odd here is it's also 1080p for Until Dawn, and it's 4K here, and yet Until Dawn still looks like I posted. That's why I rarely take other video and put. I've always found it lazy to take another game and put it in my review. So like if I'm talking about an old game, I usually just talk about it, but still show the new title. But the reason why I wanted to show Until Dawn at the starting is because there was actually a step down in some ways, which I found really odd, not because it was I expect it to be amazing or anything, but because they didn't really indicate that that was where resources would be cut with a smaller game, which is what this is, or with less money, because it is only $30, which is great. Also, I thought the choices were fun, and I have to say the multiplayer, the on-the-couch multiplayer, is fucking phenomenal. That shit is awesome. When you have five people on a couch and you're all playing it, and I make a choice, and that, like, removes an item from you being able to pick it up.
Yeah.
Very cool. It didn't make it better as a game.
Did you get a chance to play the online multiplayer?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Did that also kind of elevate the experience?
Two-person. So it did, because it's one other person, and you can do these side things at the same time, where with the person sitting next to you one version, it's like my turn, and then it'll say player two's turn. You pass the controller. So it's a little bit different style. It didn't pan out as much for me. And I didn't play that one as long because of it. I ended up inviting people over and we played.
Right.
It just seemed like a more enjoyable time with people watching and laughing at it and teasing it the entire time.
Yeah.
Also, I love the fact that some of its QTE countdowns are really fast. And there was a couple times where my guys died just because I had waited so long to take an action. I had like my head was back. I had the controller above my head because I was tired. And I'm sitting there and all of a sudden it's like X. And I'm like, oh, fuck. And I ended up killing three of the characters simply by, I got Sean Ashmore just nuked. Because I wasn't, I was just like, man, nothing's really happening. I'm hitting X here. And then I had to, like, you have to hit buttons to leap across the boat, like, seats to then get to the engine, which was weird. So it's like, X, O, X, O. And then you sit down and then nothing really happens. And he's riding off. And I thought it was riding off in the, you know, cutscene. So I'm just sitting there holding it with one hand. And then, yeah, he's dead. So I got multiple people who ended up dying. We got 5 minutes left, guys, before we jump into that. Be interesting to see. And then we got Greedfall, which we'll talk about after this. Go ahead.
I could briefly mention that I've played Anthem again. I came back to it.
Did you accidentally boot it up?
No, actually, I went back to it on purpose because they finally put in the or started the Cataclysm events, and I decided I could take a look at it. And it's honestly pretty fun. Whether I would recommend returning to the game or not obviously depends on why you left the game in the first place. Like Cataclysm does address a number of the issues that some people had, like the rarity of legendary items. Like they've been re-rolled so that legendary items now, from what I hear, drop much more regularly and reliably. The actual gameplay of the Cataclysm event itself is pretty fun, and a really good thing is that unlike we played a Division and Vermintide, where content was gated, Cataclysm is not gated at all. You can access Cataclysm content at any level and any like state of progress in the game. There are two basically ways of playing Cataclysm content. There's open world, where you go into the open world and come across these basically rifts that are gateways, and then it starts a countdown timer for when the gate will open and continually spawns waves of enemies, and then the gate will open, you'll fly in, and you'll basically be in a sort of arena where you have to survive against waves of enemies and accomplish objectives. And then there's basically kind of a raid event that's like a specific Cataclysm event that you matchmake for specifically, that you can run as well.
Yeah.
And they're good fun.
I'm starting to get burned out on any of the gating stuff. Iceborne is gated, or what is it? Monster Hunter one is gated, and you know, it's just, if somebody decides, like, let's say somebody played Monster Hunter and they enjoyed it, but they didn't want to get up to the level that they need for the DLC, but they enjoyed it. They genuinely had a good time. Maybe they got busy, but they're really liking it. And then the DLC comes out, and this weird artificial gating thing, it's just starting to cloy on me as more games come out. When less games are out, it's easier because, you know, returning to that, it's one of your options. But with Monster Hunter in particular, it released also when there was a lot of other games out there. And it was just like returning to it was more and more difficult. And for some people, they'll jump in and be all, not a big fan of sitting there and grinding this away and trying to get in there. I would say, Vermintide's sleeve had it. But with Vermintide, that was different. as well because we had two bugs that stopped us from legitimately getting
it. Yeah, that too. Yeah.
So we're rolling down to about 3 minutes. I want to say everybody who's here from YouTube, thank you very much. I appreciate it. If you want to follow here, you absolutely can. If you want to subscribe, you can. That would be completely awesome as shit continues to grow weird behind the scenes. It'll be you know what? I didn't get demonetized and I cussed a bunch in the Man of Medan one.
I was going to say, I did see an ad for that one, which was weird.
You did see an ad for Man of Medan?
Yeah.
Did you see one for Control?
Getting ads. Nope.
Yeah. Yeah. I had three. Maybe it was just on playing in Control. Three ads.
Jesus.
I don't.
Two at the beginning and one suddenly in the middle of a control. Sentence. Yeah.
There you go.
I don't even add. Oh, Jesus. Okay. Well, yeah. Hey, so it works and then just is completely screwed up. Awesome. Awesome. Now people will be like, woo, man, he went from having none to having three. Two at the starting. Yep. I'm just going to do the thing where it auto suggests, where it's like every 40 seconds, like a Linus Tech Tips, where you're trying to hear what he's saying. And he's like, today we're going to talk about, and then it pops to a commercial. It's like Mazda. And you're like, oh my God.
But first,
but
let me tell you about this fix it.
Yeah. And then inside of it, he'll do the same thing. So we're going to go live here in a second. And then after this, I would love for, I'm getting 2 to 4 pre-roll ads per YouTube video lately. That is true though. Now that I think about it, a different YouTuber was posting something about that as well on just random videos that they said something like, man, YouTube videos are like, they're almost broken right now. I'm getting like multiples and stuff. So I don't know. But anyway, we will be doing this. And then afterwards, we'll come back. We'll talk about Greedfall. We'll talk about some more reviews that are coming up. Worse on mobile, somebody says. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I guess it would be worse on mobile.
Oh, yeah, for
right?
sure.
It's always worse on mobile. Everything's worse on mobile.
Yeah, it was on mobile.
I have a cell phone. It's pretty cool. It's got no numbers in it. Nothing. Love it. That's what you guys should use your mobile phone.
Like
for.
A flip phone?
No.
One of those?
No, I've got a good
you
one.
You can just call.
I've got a good one. No. With the big fucking buttons for like sight impaired people where they're like this big for the 8. No.
For sausage fingers?
Yeah, no. I've got a pretty advanced phone, but it's completely useless for me. Like nothing. There's nothing on that thing. When I thought I might be able to take good pictures with it, but I can't, I installed like one of those filter things. You know, so you can take a picture and like filter yourself. And it wasn't even one of the cool ones where like people make themselves look like 14-year-old Asian chicks. Mine's like paint. You know, you look like you were painted. You know, that's it. All right. So I'll leave this up. I'm not going to change the name of this podcast. We'll just leave it. I'm not going to change the genre either. We'll stay in the cyberpunk thing because we will talk about it a bit. I took a bunch of notes. And thanks to everybody who is sticking with us. If you decide not to and you want to go, if you get a chance, subscribe, maybe follow. All these guys are also in the Better With Friends down the lower left, our team there. I would definitely appreciate it to get that support here on Twitch. So let me just go through some of the things I saw. First of all, I think this was sort of cool because I think it leveled some of the ideas some people had where they were like, this game will be the best game that's ever been made. There'll be nothing close. And they actually showed some jank in multiple places. Some of their ideas even on questing wasn't like, it wasn't like this big illumination moment. It was like, okay, they're going to do things pretty much like I think everybody expected. And to me, I'm actually really happy about that because I think people had some unrealistic expectations of what the game was going to do. And instead, from what it seems to me is, they are just looking at making Witcher 3, but better. Which I think for a lot of, in a cyberpunk world, and I think that works. I think it's awesome. I was looking at some of the tech stuff. A couple things blew me away. If you go back and look at that footage, I don't think there's a single character that pops in, flickers, or adjusts in the image when they're walking around the city. And even in other demos I've seen of games, other than maybe Watch Dogs 2, or Watch Dogs 1, sorry, so you could, you could think this is all conspiracy. I don't think it is. The image quality was solid. And one of the things I have an issue with is when you're walking in a world, you can see them popping distance textures, where they're like walking and they're all boom, and they've got more armor. Everything was really slick. Of course, they're probably playing it on a fucking next gen NVIDIA, something that like, you know, those techs put together just for this game. Who knows? Just called the Cyberpunk NVIDIA card. But that was cool. They used a lot of depth of field and a lot of fog, most likely to cut some of the draw distance down. But I noticed in almost every place there was that fine layer of fog, which is smart. That's the way they should do it. I hate the inventory. Completely, I don't like the inventory. I don't like the way they list out data for guns. They don't do comparisons. So I think that'll be bothersome for me. Also, they keep calling the character V, which also indicates five. So do we know, because I haven't followed this particular plot line, is he like the fifth of somebody, or is V supposed to be like some kind of nomenclature?
No, that's just, it's not a number. It's just, yeah, the nomenclature, just his name.
Just to be general, and that way they can use it whenever. The other thing that I saw that was interesting to me is when they were talking about making quests and side quests versus the main quests, they are going to have the same issue every other game has. I was wondering how they were going to handle it. It doesn't sound like they're going to do anything different, which is where they were talking about you're a mercenary and you can do whatever you want. But what they didn't mention is that they've said prior you're under a time-sensitive quest. So it's going to be very weird to see how they take the dichotomy of all games have this, by the way. Most games. I think Divinity Original Sin 2 is one of the few games as timed quests that they time out and, you know, a character dies or something. They were like, oh, you can just do whatever you want at your speed. But actually, they've stated before something is happening big that you need to investigate. So it'll be interesting to see how they work the narrative around. Like, maybe they're, instead of being a time thing, they're like, to do this, you have to be stronger. Some, I don't know how they would do it, but there's got to be some of that. I did like the fact that he said you could be, we already knew this, you could be pacifist. But you still will be attacked by people. And then he said, you know, there's ways to not kill those people, which is dumb. I don't know why you'd want to do that.
Pacify them.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, you pacify them by blowing their legs off. I think overall what I saw technically looked really sound. It looked really cool. The destruction, you know, once I said it, then they did happen to show that one part of footage where they were destroying the light bits. And they seemed to be really connected to their stats. So I do believe that most likely the strong characters would be able to do more damage to the world than the weak characters. How that affects FPS. If one of us decides to play a game where, you know, how have they balanced FPS for somebody who's just destroying shit and causing physics destruction around them versus not will be interesting. And then the last thing I noticed when I was looking was... Nope, that was pretty much it for most of the major things. I think overall it was pretty interesting. I don't like that inventory system whatsoever. But everything else, it sounded like Silver didn't like the mini map, but I couldn't tell if he was just joking. Like,
well, I don't like mini maps in general.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I couldn't tell if you didn't
that's
like
not
that
mini map specifically.
Because bigger than I guess I expected, but you know,
I would say does it help though, Silver, that in this case it's something integrated in the character's
HUD. Like in the eye or whatever.
So he sees it too, right? So it's in a way, it makes you more connected with the character that you can see the information he also has access to.
Silver would probably rip out his eyes if he had something like
that. I would, because I'm telling you right now. Organic. Did you guys, he's like, I don't think anybody, it's pretty big. I don't think anybody will want to walk across it. I walked across Witcher, Skyrim. Dude, I walked across Daggerfall. Well, almost. Yeah. Daggerfall, let's be honest, was stupid, but it in its size. But
like I never really even fast traveled in Skyrim, so yeah.
Yeah, I didn't fast travel in Dragon's Dogma, even though originally when it came out, you know, it was difficult. There was only the port stones to do it. They've made it easier. But yeah, so to me, it all seemed really interesting. I will say the gunplay, I didn't feel it was very cool, but I couldn't tell where they were, what level the person was, because they said your animations change as you get stronger. But like a lot of it was just like pew. There wasn't, I don't know, a sense of like, this is a big gun exploding in your face. But we'll just have to see.
That's the big sticking point with shooter RPGs, right?
Right.
Because of how stats tie into the actual shooting of the game.
Alpha Protocol.
Like that was. Yeah, precisely, like Alpha Protocol, yeah.
Yeah, did that bother, was everybody else totally fine with that, though? Was that just a sticking point for me? Did anybody else
notice
that? No,
it bothers me, but I think at the same time, we haven't really seen a lot of what they have to offer. They've talked about really kind of advanced and interconnected systems, like maybe your gun has access to some tech that interacts with the environment, and there's some other shit that maybe adds to that baseline that we've seen here. We've seen really basic bitch guns in this footage, whereas maybe they got a lot of extra stuff that goes on top of that that we haven't seen yet.
Yeah. What about you, Reg?
Yeah, well, the gunplay, like you said, looked very basic, but then again, I probably would be going for the hacking route anyway.
Oh, really?
And not do all that much gunplay.
So speaking of the hacking gameplay, were you okay with what we saw? Because I'm going to be honest, I would say it felt like the weakest part of the game in that demo.
Yeah, I didn't quite get what they were doing.
Right, yeah.
Like it looked like a MAC address of some network mm-hmm. thing, but I don't yeah. know what.
Like well, a weird hexadecimal thing going on?
Yeah.
There's two elements to that. One is how enjoyable is the actual hacking minigame, which that's questionable. I don't think we've seen enough to maybe say it didn't look very fun. But then there's the other aspect of it, which is what is all the cool creative stuff you can do by hacking, right? And yep. that seems to be really cool. Like if you compare a run where you're just shooting and hitting dudes, that sounded wrong, but you understand. And then another one where you have to be creative because you're not super powerful on a direct engagement.
Right.
But yeah. you got access to all of these kind of creative ways of doing things. I think that would lead to a very, very different
way. Usually, if I can decide between fighting myself or hacking something that fights for me, I'm hacking something.
Well, then that would also be the robot, too.
Yeah.
Right? Because I saw the robot in almost every game I've ever played. If you have a companion and you spend even the smallest amount of points on that companion, you're a badass. Because the game's AIs usually just aren't the greatest at like taking those guys. One, you know, you upgrade dog to doggo level, and that fucker's going to be ruining people. And I'm okay with that. Like, you know, and who knows? Maybe enemies adjust. What would be great is maybe that works against humans, but you go into the cyborgs, and because it's a robot, you know, they're fucking dehacking that. You know, they're like, or not dehacking it, but you know, turning it off, deactivating it, and you have to. You know, work around that. It'd be fun to see if some AI, some of the AI in the groups are more susceptible, I guess. They also did the thing that I think we've seen in every game where they're like, this group is this way and this group is this way. And you're just like, all right, whatever. I mean, at some point, you know, I get it, but you know, this guy likes to lift. That's great and everything. But I don't want it to where there's not a huge guy with the other group. Does that make sense?
Also, I mean, like that mix.
Yeah.
Obvious goal. Have Sasquatch stay alive
and keep and see if you can get him to work for you. That's what I got.
It's a woman. It's a lady.
Well, the group. Like,
If you can get Sasquatch, because they said you can leave her alive, and there'll be a repercussion. And I'm like, hopefully that's not all negative, because it would be great to be able to like somehow be all I saved you. I could have killed you. Now I'm the strongest, because remember she's in that group, and you're like I'm Sasquatch. Mr. Sasquatch, you follow my orders now. That would be Sasquatch. I'm Mr. Sasquatch snapping into your Slim Jim. That shit would be fucking awesome. Silver, was there anything that you saw that you were like, I'm on this, or was there anything that really pushed you away?
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't as the hacking minigame didn't really move me one way or the other as much, maybe because I've played so many of these games by now, and it just looked like another one of these hacking minigames that's in nearly every game. It didn't really stand out one way or another. But I mean, yeah, like you mentioned, what you can actually do with it looked and sounded really, really interesting. Just like the way you can interact with systems in the world for experimentation sounds really engaging and really promising.
I don't know about you guys. I'm so excited that they showed it and it wasn't like, It was just sort of here's a game instead of everything's going to be the greatest, most massive, most epic, unbelievable, immersive, and you're just like whatever. Instead, they showed a game, and I'm hoping that lowers people's expectations to just, you know, a cyberpunk game instead of it's going to be this. It's just going to be this most amazing thing. You're going to get in there, you're going to find something you don't like, and suddenly your expectations are way too high. And instead, what they showed looked like a game that, you know, had a lot of money going into it and has a lot of people who want to make it good, but it's not doing something that I didn't see anything in there that didn't remind me of Deus Ex 4. Like if somebody said, we're going to make a Deus Ex, but we're going to actually spend some good money on it and not put microtransactions in it. There was a lot of, I guess, sort of a sister brother feeling between Deus Ex and this, which is cool. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Open world they showed, they said cars, they said flying cars. If there's not a jetpack, instant not worth buying. But I was stoked when they said that, because did you guys see the multiple times they showed that helicopter destroying that apartment? They even they showed it, and I'm just like, that should be all. I mean, because that could change your entire way of playing. If you can fly your helicopter to a spot, land on the roof instead of going in from the bottom. Because no matter what car you get, one of the things I talk about in games is no matter what car you get, when you get there, you're still walking in the front fucking door. Like, you might drive there in style, but guess what? Those fucking double doors stop your car. You're done. That's the way it is. But in this game, the idea, just like GTA, where you can get helicopters, the idea of being able to, like, land on the top of a building maybe and work down could be very cool.
See, my assumption when it comes to the flying cars is just, and maybe this is just too cynical or whatever, it's just that it's going to be on rails.
Whoa, what? Really?
Really?
So you think maybe you'll get a luxury car, but instead of zooming around, you're like, I want to go to, you like, map point. And then
if kind of a fancy fast travel, yeah, I guess.
Oh, man. God, I hope not.
Nothing I've seen leads me to think that is going to happen. Because they seem to put a huge emphasis on being able to go from city to city and really take your time on the way there and stuff.
What forms that assumption for me is just like basic
technical.
Just that yeah, and that's just how it's sort of been in gaming previously. Like that's how it was in World of Warcraft, famously with like flying creatures and stuff. That was also
initially. Yeah. Well, you know what? GTA hopefully caused them to realize that, you know, you need to be there.
Yep.
So yeah, I like how Reg just disappeared. Now it's just his background. So reading some of the comments here.
Get Paris.
Let's see. People seem to be fairly into it. Grand Theft Auto Deus Ex mix, I'm in. Let's see. Co Carnage commented, this is what Deus Ex 2 was supposed to be like. But no, it wasn't.
Man, were they aiming high if they wanted Deus Ex to be this?
Yeah. I mean, maybe. Yeah, at least all the design documents I saw for that. Shady says, hey guys, he's talking about FIFA. We'll just worry. We'll work on this first. Envan says, I wonder if you could break through a window so you can start on 3/4 into the building. Yes, he said that. He said there were, on quests, he even said there's like a tech way, an aggressive way, a cyber hacking way, but you could also like leap over to another building, jump across the, what did he say? He said like jump across the deck or the awning or whatever and land and possibly go into a side window. Hey, what's up, Reg? Yeah. You're back.
Oh.
Yes.
You were gone for a second.
Yep.
So
I do like just one last thought. I do love the way they covered the discussion part because even though they clearly had kind of bullet points, it was way more natural and they could really kind of let the passion that they have for the game and kind of, you know, show whereas some of these really guided show pieces that you know, you see in some of these really, really detract from the whole thing. And here it really seemed like it was three dudes really, really passionate about what they're doing with the game, kind of talking to you about it. So,
yeah, and to their credit, I didn't really catch a lot of buzzwords there.
No, but you know what? There was the opposite, unfortunately. If he said thing one more time, I was going to just end the stream. Now that could have been because they were nervous about what they said, you know, trying to control your verbiage, but it was getting actually, I saw some people leave and they were DMing me and being like, I can't handle this guy talking. Like there's not data coming in. It's just general, but you know what? They're early.
Yeah.
A lot of that could be those two things. And it could also be, you know, you're sort of live and you know, yeah, there were a lot of, and you knows in there, which is like, no, we don't know. That's where we're watching the Twitch. You never say, and you know, if you're talking about something brand new, because it makes no fucking sense. Let's look here. They said flying cars won't be drivable, Lemon Streak says. And I just saw somebody else who says flying cars are drivable. Okay, whatever.
Yeah.
So well, I'll just sit back and say one for, one against, 30 love. I want to say thanks again to everybody here.
I would be very surprised if they turned out to be completely flyable and drivable.
But I mean, GTA is. Don't you think everybody looks at GTA and says, if we don't do that, we're screwed? Like, people are just going to say that game was doing it on the 360.
Yeah. I mean, GTA wasn't doing flying cars on a 360. That was later on for the next generation. But
Airplanes? Helicopters?
Yeah, true.
I mean, ignore that it's car.
Yeah, apparently they said in an interview that they are not drivable.
So I'm seeing somebody saying in an interview they said it were drivable, and then somebody saying in an interview
I think
they
it
said
also
they
had
weren't.
A significantly higher budget. I don't really think it's fair to compare like use
true
GTA
that.
As like a, true that. A benchmark in that way.
Okay, but then Saints Row didn't, and it had them. See, what I'm worried about is I think technically they won't be because you're trying to draw the entire world. However, I think fans-wise, that's going to cause them no end of issues. Because you know it and I know it, that the first thing somebody's going to say is Saints Row 2 did it. And that's where you get into those bullshit discussions. They're going to have to in some way wrap the narrative around them not being flyable.
Yeah, but I think, I think the issues with like fully free flying cars isn't just like the technical thing. It's also how it
breaking
sort of
quests.
Just impacts the, impacts the game world itself, like flying around. Like, I don't think it's a secret to say that the game world in Cyberpunk is probably going to be a lot more intricate than the game world in like Saints Row.
Nah, no, impossible.
Not necessarily Saints Row.
Well, regardless, we talked about this almost a year ago or whatever, where we were talking about this, and I do remember them saying that they weren't flyable. I find it weird that they didn't say it here, especially when you buy them. It's going to be very weird to basically be buying a bus that is going to cost you a bunch of money, and it's going to go from A to B, because they very distinctly stated that the more money you have, you'll be able to buy these things. And it's like, okay, great. You can buy a fast travel marker, which I think for a lot of people, that'll be bothersome.
It's
not
a down
realistic people will, you know, if you look at the tech and you're like, this is not working, or it doesn't work in their game design, that'll be fine. But I'm talking more about the crowd, the mob, as they say, the from Gladiator. So crossing our fingers for whatever they do, they make it make sense. How about that?
If
it's A to B, they gotta have a narrative in there. Like, these are danger zones, so your airplane just drives from A to B. It still pisses me off.
Yeah, I mean, I think you could do it very easily with like flying car spinners, because you have to have it regulated, the flying path.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, the cars will bump together, like the FAA with airplanes.
Almost like it's a self-driven car.
Basically,
whereas,
it's on autopilot.
You can Teslas.
It's forbidden to act. Yeah, it's forbidden to actually drive it because it's too risky.
Yeah.
Even though I do like the fact that at least from what I've seen, there's no self-driving cars in this game, and they're all back to Road Warrior style cars. So it's gonna be that cool dichotomy. If you follow the fiction, it all makes sense. Well, it doesn't make sense, but it all fits in their fiction.
The skies are where all the rich people live, so that's where all the like. That's where we get the regulation. Then we get the anarchy on the ground.
Yeah, the anarchy on the ground. That's just like, fuck it. You do like go-kart races at your local place, and you're just watching it going, geez, they're kicking each other like road rash. It did. I think technically wise, it was definitely a step up also from what I saw. Somebody was asking a little bit ago, and I started to answer it, and then we broke off. They were saying, do I think it suffered a downgrade? And I would say, no, I think it's actually followed normal development. I mean, that from where it was, what we saw in the other trailers, what we see now, to me, that looks pretty much exactly what I would expect if you're trying to make a game that will work on fairly high-end stuff as well as super high-end stuff. I'm sure low, there's going to be some concessions, for sure.
Yeah.
But I think what we saw, that actually, that looked fair. That looked pretty much
Switch version?
No. Jesus. Well, I mean, who knows? Every time I say no, Witcher 3 gets announced or something crazy.
Complete edition.
Yeah. I'm not saying Witcher 3, the perfectly locked at 30 FPS edition, was announced. I'm just saying the title was announced. You guys think it will release when they're hoping for it? Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I don't see, at least from what I've heard, it's well on its way, and that's not an issue. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. But I know that they're already looking.
I mean, really, anything can happen. There's still like 6 months to launch. So anything can
Remember
really
when No Man's Sky's studios flooded? What's the company called?
10 months. Well,
Hello Games?
Hello Games. Yeah.
There's flooded. There were some other things that can truly happen for sure. Yeah. So moving on.
None of
on
those
from
caused
there,
the game to not be able to access the main menu from, or the settings from the main menu. Instead, you have to load into the goddamn game.
What's he
which
talking about?
Is, sorry, I'm ranting about No Man's Sky.
Oh.
You can't access the settings from the main menu, and you need to load into the game, and then the game doesn't work. And it's just like, John! Sorry.
All right.
Continue.
All right. Yeah. That was a lot. So I'm going to pimp. No, it's all right. I was going to pimp one last time next week on Wednesday, 10:30 a.m. We've got a bunch of composers, a bunch of creators. We've got Austin Wintory from Journey and Abzu and Assassin's Creed and Banner Saga. We've got the composer for Outer Worlds coming on, who also did Pillars, Tyranny, and a couple others. We have Jesse Harlan, who did the composing for Star Wars Old Republic Commando, as well as a bunch. And we also have Brian Edward Hill, who is a comic book writer. He's writing, I think Titans is canceled. I could be wrong. The TV show Titans, but he's done that. He's done a bunch of comic books. One of my favorite, Hong Kong Fooey as well. He did Batman comic books, and we're getting a bunch of creators on. We're going to be talking about what it's like to create content. Well, they will be. I'll be asking questions and then shutting up for the most part. I don't think I'll be able to add anything to
that. What an awesome group.
Yeah, dude, that's an insane group of people to get together. Like, when I thought about it, I was all, I'm just gonna ask to see if they would, because you don't know if they don't like each other, too. Right. Not that composers are battling it out underneath the fucking sewers in some kind of ring somewhere. But it's like, the assumption is they may not, for whatever reason, they love each other. But yeah, they're all, stoked.
I'm sorry, I forget his name, but I think the guy who was the composer for Republic Commando actually...
Jesse Harlan.
Is the guy, Jesse Harlan actually is the guy who created the Mandoa language for Star Wars, because he created it for the operatic choir song that's in the game.
That is correct.
He created the Mandoa language for that. And then it sort of went off from there into books and stuff on the Mandalorians.
And he also created he made the baseline for interactive music back then. They were doing stuff like 10 years ago that was not even really thought of. Now it's in almost every software program, but they were actually on LucasArts and some of the stuff they were doing. Also, he worked on 1313. And the last podcast, we talked a little bit about 1313. I think he's under NDA, you know, even though it was canceled a long time ago. But we'll see.
He work on Force Unleashed as well?
Yes, he did. I think he did Force Unleashed 2. This is the international podcast, bro, right now. That's what we're doing right now, international podcast. and that means we are going to be jumping to the next bit of content, which is Greedfall. What do we all think?
I'm still looking forward to it.
Still looking forward to it. Anybody else?
Happy is coming out a day before my birthday, so I'm looking.
That's a day before your birthday.
Yeah.
Oh shit.
We need to make it a big thing. Let's announce a big stream or something.
Not only is it Silver's birthday, but he is now fully streaming on Mixer. It is a big deal, huge deal, far bigger deal than Ninja. So be prepared for Silver Hawkins coming to Mixer. He's going to be there. Live with Greedfall. My dogs are just absolutely singing.
Complaining about why I can't turn off the minimap.
Mad as a hatter.
Like a 24-hour stream complaining about the minimap.
Yeah, I'm sure people can hear that. I apologize. Mailman came to my door, and my dogs apparently are hungry, and they're trying to eat him through the door. I apologize. I'll yell at him in a second.
Well, he is the mailman, so he has to come.
He is. They're inherently evil. They're inherently evil. With Greedfall also, I don't know if you guys got to see it, but they did a bunch of behind the scenes videos. Like, here's this city, here's that city, here's our system. They did some stuff about the voice actors. They pushed a lot of PR for it, which strangely enough is not the case for some of the games I've been covering lately, including, like, I would say Man of Medan a little bit. Control got more at the end, but it didn't have a ton coming up. There's been a couple games I've noticed where they didn't have a ton of PR. And I'm pretty happy Greedfall seems to have a lot. I mean, it seems like they've got that thing where somebody was like, if you liked BioWare, you know, this is the game for you, which I always warn people, don't listen to that, because you're just going to be, it'll be unfair comparisons.
Control basically just had like a couple of features, like I think Comic-Con events or something like that. And then, interviews with like Sam Lake and stuff.
They did not do a bunch of stuff. Just give me one brief moment. So moving on from there, anything else? Spider, let's see. 16th says Greedfall has such potential. Spiders can be so imaginative and ambitious, but they tend to botch the landing. That is correct. They are the piranha bites.
It's all a question of execution with that game.
Yeah, for sure. You know, they've had a lot of hands on. That's another thing. They've been pretty ballsy. IGN, they even had a couple YouTubers who got, well, a couple of those YouTubers are friends with people in the business, but they've been very open overall with their beta, which I think usually, not that it means anything, but I guess with their past games, I haven't expected that. I don't think we saw anything from Technomancer or whatever, you know, like we didn't see like big events with Technomancer. Everybody hates me for liking that game, but I dig it. I dig me some Technomancer. The real question is, does Greedfall have jetpacks? Every game does. You just hack them in. Somebody makes a mod.
Yep. Right? As soon as it's on PC.
As soon as somebody makes a mod, put it in there. Let's see. What else do we got going on here?
Yeah, basically just run the noclip, basically.
And
console. Yeah.
I remember back in the game.
Noise to it.
Dude, the big one for me was Morrowind. When I was first, you know, using like Morrowind noclip. You know, and it was have these weird little little command you needed with the tilde key, and suddenly you were able to sprint up and all that shit. You'd break the AI. It would go nuts. It couldn't figure out how to fly up to you. But it was so cool to be able to do those things. What anything I'm missing, guys? I'm sure I am, because I don't have the let's go to Discord.
Did we talk about Erica? Because I missed last.
Nope, we haven't. No, we podcast. We haven't got to any of that.
Because Reg played it, I played through it as well. Silver, is that something you were looking at?
Let's answer some questions from patrons first, and then we'll spin to that. What do you guys think about the This is from Cyanide. What do you guys think about the Peggy response for giving NBA 2K20 3-year-old rating?
What?
A 3-year-old rating.
For 3 and up.
So that means he was hoping a 19 and up or something, right?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, probably like because of like loot box microtransaction mechanics in the game.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you still need access to a credit card or something, right? So if you're a parent out there and you're giving your 3-year-old access to your credit card, then it's a bigger problem, isn't it, than the PG rating.
Can you imagine going, like, your Amazon delivery shows up and it's a bunch of hair scrunchies and fucking, like, easy bake ovens? Your 3-year-old's got, first of all, if a 3-year-old's on Amazon figuring out all the buttons to click, bravo to them. Like, because at 3 years old, I was picking my nose fast, and sometimes flinging it correctly. So, like, those kids, some advanced-ass 3-year-olds running around, which, hey, what? That's cool to me. What are we
I mean, when it comes to like, especially like the consoles, PCs, people can tend to be pretty lazy where they
leave their stuff in.
They save the credit card info. So they basically just go through and pay automatically when there's a transaction.
Or Amazon one click in the game, stuff like that.
So they don't actually have to fill out the credit card information every time.
Yeah. So for sure, also their fault.
Yeah.
But long story short, it should have been above 3, right? None of us agree 3 is right, do we? I don't. I mean, like...
No, I mean, I don't know why... I don't even... Yeah, I don't get why a 3-year-old would even be playing, like, NBA.
Right, exactly. Exactly. That's what I'm saying is the number doesn't even make sense. Like, it's not even the proper number. It's just... I started martial arts
I don't remember what age stuff starts, but do you even, like, speak properly at 3?
Properly? Yeah. You can put sentences together.
I mean, it depends on child to child, right?
But I mean, you're not like 4 score on 7 years. Well, some kids, you'll see that.
Silver was.
You'll see that Reddit you're like, and of course, as you can tell.
Mozart had his first symphony at 6, right?
Yeah, so. And I was going to say, as you can tell, I learned to talk at a young age. I'm sure my parents hated that, but it just depends on how fluent they are. But playing like NBA and stuff, that's crazy to me that it's a 3-year-old rating on that game. Like, just put it at 18 or whatever. I don't know how Peggy does their ratings either. Do they do it all by age? Could there be a 4 and a 5?
Probably
and a
just
6?
Like finger to the wind.
Yeah, because it's weird. That number 3 makes no sense.
I have to confess that, like, specifically in NBA 2K, I'm not overly familiar with just the nature of the microtransactions in that game. So it's kind of hard for me to speak to.
Every microtransaction is available in those games. I'm assuming it's the same way as the one that I reviewed, which is just beard.
Did you watch the trailer of the NBA 2? They went all in. All in.
I did hear
At least half the trailer is showing off the gambling mechanics
baseball games.
Okay, yeah.
Hey, bravo for the balls, guys.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Bravo for the balls. Congratulate. I mean, hey, you know what?
Like, you have everything in there. They show off a pachinko machine. They have, like, a slot machine. They have everything.
Three-year-old slot machines, baby. Little kids.
And they have some YouTuber or whatever in the corner. I don't know who the guy was. Who's, like, super excited to have all that stuff in there.
So that's what I saw yesterday in Discord. Somebody said, do they think that those influencers, which I am not one, I don't care what they, if they want to claim I'm an influencer, fuck off. If I'm an influencer, I'm buying into that stuff, which I don't. I get my own stuff. I don't do those kind of things. They were wondering if an influencer was recorded without knowing what they were actually responding to. Because they were so egregious that people were thinking
they were super excited.
Yeah. And they were like, are they really excited for this, or were there? So we'll see. We'll see if some people come forward and are like, my face is on there. But that's not what I was like responding.
I think the greater likelihood is that they were just paid for it.
Just like be told to respond.
Yeah. Like, just be excited or whatever.
Exactly in that tone. Just be excited or whatever.
Precisely. Yeah.
Peggy 40, Swamp Monkey. That would be awesome. Peggy 40. Like, it's a midlife crisis game. You know, the guy's really depressed. Yeah. His wife's cheating on him.
That's why you're going to try for the loot box with the Ferrari in it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. The Ferrari, the hair transplant, right? You know, testosterone treatments. It's like the Peggy 40. That'd be crazy. Thank you, everybody, for subscribing. I missed a couple people's subscriptions. I apologize for that. But once we get going, we just get going. So, no. Anyway, long story short, they asked if I saw it. No, I hadn't. I did see some reactions to it. Seemed pretty crazy. Did you guys watch a Joe Rogan podcast with John Carmack? I did. Anybody else?
No.
Not yet. No.
I think that's a good thing to talk about because, first of all, Joe, bravo to him. Not a big fan, but he did a great job. He let John talk, and John likes to get to point B by going via W and X, sometimes Q, occasionally the number 4. And you have to follow. John just goes. And Joe did a really good job. He just sat back and he was like, he asked John a question and they didn't even pan to Joe. In the entire podcast, I think they showed it twice where they were side by side. The rest of the time was just John talking and discussing things. And it was great. There was a lot of technical stuff, a lot of stuff about VR. It was really cool. Talking about one of the things we've talked about here is that technology is on its way to slowing down in its, Moore's Law and the stuff that's going on there with like electrons and nanometer sizes being so small that electrons can't stay in the lines. And that's a big deal that like, even when I was working at a certain company, they were already thinking about that. And that was like at 20, I can't even remember what the nanometer was, 500. It was a long time ago. And they were already, discussing.
They were still at millimeters.
Yeah, inches, 3-inch CPU, fucking things that big. It's got 4 lanes. Just, somebody solders them in by hand. Somebody with a really, they can't drink caffeine that day.
No, they chisel in.
What? Yeah, they chisel in a little. They're the opticians here at our company make each CPU by hand.
Exactly.
But yeah, it was cool, man. John's knowledgeable. He has some thoughts people don't agree with, I'm sure. He said some stuff there that I found not what I was expecting him to say, including work times for developers and passion and working overtime, which I thought were pretty unique for him to say in today's current environment. I think John's just above the caring of that. And he was just like, it was pretty interesting to see some of his answers Joe asked about like how, people working overtime and if everybody's stuck in that. Well, he said he did qualify the entire conversation by saying he's talking from his standpoint. He talked about the fact that he loves 60-hour work weeks and he would never be happy not working those, and that the people he worked with and work with actually enjoy those, and that's their passion. And he was talking more from the passion side, but he said a couple things that if I was trying to get mad about something or was involved in it, I would be like, hey, what? And luckily, I think most people realized it was just John. He did qualify it. And the problem is a lot of people think if you qualify something, it doesn't matter. No, it actually does, especially if you say, I'm just going to give you my opinion of what I experienced here. That is really just what you experienced there. You're not talking about the outside. And so that's what he was doing. But a couple of them came across as a little bit non-committal towards better work environments and stuff like that. Right, and, right. And he never said people should. He just said what he'd experienced and who he's dealing with that doesn't, it wasn't coming up. And it was interesting that he said it, and whether you agree with it or not. It was just,
yeah.
It was
not if you think about it, in an environment like that, where most people that succeed are extremely driven and they choose to spend extra hours doing the work, right? If you're someone who have, you know, maybe you have the same skills, but you want to be a 9-to-5 guy, obviously you're going to get less results and maybe do not as well in the industry. So to some extent, it's almost like you're forced to meet that level of, extra hours.
One thing he did talk about is just that. He said that they have many workers who are 9-to-5 and they're awesome. So instead of people going, you're not staying till midnight, he brought that example up. He's like, nobody's ever pointed that person and said, you're not staying till midnight. Instead, they're just very happy he's there. So I think that's a culture for every company. And we know some companies suck. Mm-hmm. And we know some companies don't. So that's something that I'm sure could happen in some companies. Also, he lived in a different time. When they were at id,
yeah. Yes,
the thought process was not the same as, like, it was not the same at all. And I think he's old school, which is fine.
Yeah.
Old school.
I think for me, part of the issue is that it can often be difficult for people, especially when you're in a group of working closely with a group of people like that, that you might be caught up in kind of a bubble.
Yeah.
Especially because there's no incentive to really complain. You're disincentivized to complain if you actually are unhappy with your working conditions. You're sort of incentivized to like put up a brave front, right? And seem like you enjoy the work and you want to do the work. So maybe it's true that everyone around John Carmack liked the 60-hour work weeks and really lived for that. Maybe the truth is more complicated than that. It's difficult to know because
I think there he are all qualified these it pretty well indicating that, yeah. that his culture wasn't, because they did have people who were working short hours and they were trouble.
And with the 9-to-5 guys working overtime, the problem is often that you don't get people saying specifically, I want you to stay over, but there's this unset expectation that you do. And if you don't, you'll let down the team. It's similar to to soldiers or whatever, where you have that sense of teamwork where you want to do your part. And if you're not doing your part, you're letting down the overall effort, right?
Yeah, right.
I think that's possible, really, but I also think what Carrick is saying is true, that it won't be in every company. I think it's false. It's a myth that every company is like that, where the group of people who do choose to stay late frown upon the rest that want to do a 9-to-5 because they got a family or whatever. Because just in the software engineering, I can tell you, I work with a lot of people who choose to do extra hours, and there's never a bad sentiment to someone like myself who chooses to do a 9-to-5.
It's not always just also a question that they get necessarily get ostracized. It's an onus that people often put on themselves from expectations. But I haven't heard anyone say the assertion that every company is that way. It's just a question of what is the industry trend.
No, I didn't mean to put that one in your mouth, but it does seem to be something that people maybe throw around casually, the idea that this happens everywhere and it's just, just coming to the surface now, but it actually happens everywhere.
Also, that's why I'm telling everybody, man, you gotta adopt it as early as humanly possible, the just don't give a fuck mentality in some things. You absolutely have to. And if you're at a spot where somebody's doing that, you have to look at your situation. First of all, try to make sure you're not in a situation where you can't leave a company or you can't tell somebody you're not going to be accepting of something. I had stuff in a company where they had rules written down, HR rules, for example. And I was like, that's fucking not legal. Like, that's like, you guys worded it a different way, but that shit's not legal. And there were a couple rules I got switched because I'm just a really belligerent person. And you can't all be that way, but I got to say, you got to at least occasionally adopt it when you're getting crushed, because that sucks if you don't, and I get it, we're all in hard times. I don't think I've ever been flush with cash in my entire life, unless I was living at home with my parents. Like, the moment I moved out, I was poor, and it's pretty much stayed at that level. Like, you know, I know whenever a dollar goes out, I guess I'll say it that way. I know every dollar that goes out, and I'm like, that's a buck that I had to spend at this place. But at some point, you do have to stand up for yourself, and it sucks because I get it. I've worked at places where the atmosphere is a certain way, and there were some things I wouldn't. Some things I'd be like, okay, I'm sucking this up, because there's also that. Where you might not
pick
be
your
the only,
battles, right?
Well, you might not be the only person who's like realizing that, and then, but because of the way everything's set up, you're like, let's fix this thing first, and then fix this other thing over here once we get this thing fixed. Sometimes it's a battle of what matters the most in particular instances. But I don't make games. Those guys who make games are passionate as fuck, and I've met people who are passionate. Well, I am. I barely sleep. Most people I know who are super passionate barely sleep. So their availability also for working is higher. And which I think is, it's not unfair, but I have outworked people not because of skill. Rarely because of skill. It would simply be because I was up and they were asleep. And so I would have people being like, man, you're doing an awesome job. And I'd be all, took me an extra 3 hours compared to what Joe Blow was doing, but I'm up for an extra 8. So... it may seem like it.
So you create the perception of it.
But you're creating the perception of that too. And I wonder sometimes with like a John, ignore him. He's an outlier. But a lot of these people who do, you know, who become superstars, it's like how much of it is just they're not married, right? No kids. They, you know, there's some other way in which they're able to garner resources that we don't think of. And we just assume it's, you know, they're talented or whatever. And it's like, are they? Or are they just, do they just have more time? You know? I think we've all worked with somebody that's like that, where you'd be like, what are you doing this week? And they're like, nothing. And if they decide to and they focus in their job, they can do some incredible stuff because their nothing is productive time at work, if they choose to use it that way. But it was a good discussion. It was, I said, that was odd to hear that because I don't know if I agree. I don't really agree with him, but I get where he was coming from. He did a good job. I think people just, when you draw context at the starting of the conversation, people have to dive into it and realize that's what he was delivering. And then John just knows tech. He was describing shit, and you just see Joe. If Joe had hair, it would be blown back. Because, like, John's talking, and you just see Joe, like... he just gets farther and farther back, and then he only made one comment about being dumb. Joe likes to do that, but instead it was just mostly about John talking about cool tech and his failures in life. Failures teach you, and he was very open about some of the ones, like his rocket stuff he did. He was very open that it almost bankrupted his family, and his wife had to basically put her foot down and be like, no, like, we're done. You can't bankrupt our family just because you like to play with rockets on fucking weekend. And I thought that was cool. Sort of showing that like support of the family can control somebody who's out of control. Cause he is.
Yeah.
He's definitely one of those guys. What else do we got this week? This month, we've got Gears coming on what day? Seventh.
Six for the Ultimate Game Pass. 10th otherwise.
So 6th. Yeah. I mean, we'll just pretend like we're all getting on that way. So the 6th for Gears, or the earliest, we'll just say for any dates we're going to talk about, the earliest you can get them legally. You got the 6th, which turns out to be Thursday, I think. And then we've got Greedfall, which I think we figured out is the...
on the 10th.
10th or 11th. 10th.
Yep.
And then 10th. We've got... what's on the 24th? Surge 2.
We also have Borderlands 3 on the 13th.
We also have Borderlands 3 on the 13th.
It's a big one.
Here's the thing. If you hear anybody try to tell you there aren't a bunch of games coming out this year, they're snorting so much dope.
Oh, yeah. You also have the Monster Hunter Iceborne expansion, at least on console.
Monster Hunter and Outer Worlds.
And Ni No Kuni for Switch. Next one.
Okay, that was a combo breaker. Is Ni No Kuni considered big though? Maybe it is. I don't follow that one.
Well, it's at least for us, it's interesting.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I'm not even going to add that. But do we have Outer Worlds is also this month, right? Or is it not?
I think it's end of month, right?
Yeah.
End of September.
Guys, it's crazy. It's crazy.
Outer Worlds is. Is it? Is it September?
Or did it get pushed?
October. Everybody who's in chat, what are you looking forward to? You can only put one game. Anybody who puts more than one game is not going to have your answer read. I want one game from you and what you're excited for. I hate this. I don't want any silver answers where you're like, I got 16
I got 10.
We got Outer Worlds, Surge 2, Outer Worlds, Surge 2. This is interesting because I did not
only
expect
one
Surge
Borderlands
2.
3.
One
yeah,
Borderlands
3,
Greedfall, Outer World, Gears, just because of Game Pass. Hey, Torchlight 2. Torchlight 2 has been out for years. What's it coming out? Is it coming out on like...
Might come out on the Switch.
Consoles. Maybe consoles. Or Switch, yeah.
All consoles, yeah.
Gears 5, Link's Awakening Remaster,
yeah.
Iceborne, Outer Worlds, Xbox, just Xbox. Oh, he's talking about, okay.
Just a console.
I was like, what's going on? I think he's saying the platform. I was like, what? We've decided to release the Xbox Scarlet really fucking early. Congratulations. Let's see. Cloudpunk.
Cloudpunk.
I don't know what that is.
No idea.
One
Blair
more
Witch
Greedfall,
is
Blair
out
Witch.
On Game Pass.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It is.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I've been watching Lie to Me. If you understand micro expressions, I just gave.
I saw that.
Talked about,
yeah, I saw
about
the little.
Outer Worlds. Oh, somebody already cheated. Envance cheated. I'd pick Outer Worlds, but if we were doing September only, Greedfall.
No, there's no qualification. It's one
Damn
game,
you,
my dude.
You had one job, bro. One job. Oh, Madov cheated. Borderlands 3 and Greedfall. Jesus Christ.
God damn.
You know what?
One simple instruction.
As somebody who's like had to manage people, this is the shit that will frustrate. It doesn't frustrate me, guys. I want to make sure people understand I'm completely teasing you, except you did really let me down. But if I was working at a company and you ask for one answer and you get like six, like, for example, have you guys ever had to order food for a group? And you'd be like, listen. Yeah. It's either Subway or this five-star restaurant. And you assume...
It's like Chinese.
And you're just like, I don't get... Guys, and now I got to say... So you know what I did, man? I used to have a little qualifier at the top. I'm like, these are the choices. Anything that is not on this is not a choice whatsoever. Like, you won't get a response. You won't get me checking back with you. You're going to have to fucking deal with it. Because you would waste so much time with people who are him and Han. They're like, you know... I feel a little like Chinese, but on Thursdays I like to do KFC. Like, fuck, I don't care what you want to do. Yakuza 6. Nvan says, hey, man, I'm just here to disappoint. I like to make people feel better about themselves.
Dragon Quest 11 Switch port is also coming in September.
Democracy. I hate democracy. It needs to be snuffed out. Karakocracy. It's a new thing. It's where you guys give examples and I just pick the one that I want regardless. Never ask what they want. Never ask what the office wants for lunch ever. Today feels like Taco Tuesday, Taco Sunday, and that's not even a thing. Star Citizen. Yeah. Maybe not this year, but maybe 2 years from now.
Which century?
Yeah. I can't wait for that. I've really enjoyed my time with the beta, though. So.
Are we getting a new Democracy game? I didn't know that.
I don't know.
Like Democracy 4? Like, it would
Have
be
a good
4,
one,
right?
Baba.
Last one was Democracy 3, I think.
Stygian, it's not a AAA title, but Stygian, Reign of the Old Ones. By the way, Stygian, or Stygian, depending on how you pronounce it, one of the best words and names ever. I love the Stygian blackness.
Yes, apparently you will get the Democracy 4.
I like Democracy games. I've really enjoyed those. And I didn't know a new one was coming. Very cool.
So what about you guys, if you had to pick one game?
I'm still reading. We still got more. Y'all forgetting Shenmue. AC Denton says, "No, we're not."
Right? No.
I don't think. Are we?
I'm not.
Yeah. No. I think we're. I think
I'm actively not forgetting.
We're good. I think.
Yeah.
We're good.
Yeah. Nobody said Death Stranding.
Mm,
is
true.
Death Stranding this month?
No.
No.
That's next month, isn't it?
That's November.
Or November.
November.
Yeah.
Okay. I was just about to ready to check out and just be like, I'm done, man.
Not excited really about it. So
after what we saw.
Piss saving? Come on. Piss saving.
We do have someone excited for Ooblets. That's good.
Ooblets, yeah. That's the one that had the issues with the Epic Store thing, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
That's coming out what this month? Or
next, I think.
Next
September.
September.
Yeah.
All right. So last question, or one more question, and then we will talk about Erica.
Kind of a Stardew Valley kind of game. Sorry.
That's all right. Stardew. Something popped into my head about a news I saw this morning. Not Stardew. It was. Did you guys see the news about the big space game where some workers were coming forward and say they hadn't been paid in years? Starbound. Did you guys see that? There was a huge amount of news this morning about Starbound. Somebody else saw the news. There was. You guys should check it out. I haven't got a chance to check it out. But supposedly they're like Chucklefish. Didn't pay them. So Rush 2049. What's up, Rush? He says, totally unrelated to the fact that I just got a Valve Index. I want to know what upcoming VR titles have you heard about. Anything you're looking forward to? Anything that isn't a terrible VR experience mode or a bad port? Anything in VR?
Well, the what was it called? Vanishing Realms one, right?
Yeah, yes. One of my favorite games of all time, Vanishing Realms for VR, is finally getting an expansion. That game is for sure a VR seller if you're really, really rich and you just need one game to buy VR. But for everybody else...
Exactly. You buy the 1,100 and then the $17 Vanishing Realms.
Yeah, a $17 game, and you're like, absolutely worth it. Not so much. But yeah, that's coming out, and incredibly excited for that. There was some game on the Rift, Oculus Rift, that's coming
actually out.
Oh, is it out?
Yep.
Gotta check it. There's another sword fighting game that I saw some previews for. And also, somebody somehow got in Pavlov, the VR shooter game, which is very good. Somebody got the World at War zombie maps working with zombies on them. And so I'll be downloading that today, and we'll check into it. You guys will see VR content for me for sure as we move forward. So let's talk about Erica. So Reg and Johnny played it. Silver, did you play it?
No.
Okay, so what do you think, Johnny, of Erica?
So Erica is basically like a thriller movie, but into a gamified thing. The technical name is FMV, isn't it? Which is basically like an interactive movie for people who haven't experienced that. What's the name of that other one, Carrick? You mentioned that's pretty cool.
Contradiction, baby.
Yeah, it's quite cool, right?
Yeah, one of the best ever.
Yeah.
And this is kind of like that. The twist is that... they actually recommend you use your phone to control. So you do like swipe gestures on your phone. I played the whole thing on the phone, and it was great for me. Reg has some problems. He'll talk about it. But it felt quite cool the way it interacts. There was no lag at all. And it was quite natural to just swipe on stuff. And the acting was really surprisingly good. It's, I think, a thing like that is hard to not make awkward. I felt contradictory, a little bit awkward, but I think you nailed it when you said the guy is kind of playing a detective character. It's going to be a bit silly, whereas this, it's more like of an intense interpretation from the actress. I thought she did a great job. The story is pretty cool. The ending fell a bit flat, but I also got like just a happy ending. I don't know what some of the more obscure choices will lead to, would be interesting to see. I know that a lot of people can die on the way there, which I managed to save everybody, except from a random guard, that dude. That was a bad way to go. Yeah. But quite interesting. It was also cheap, so it was £8, probably, I think, $9.99
for US.
Yeah, that
turns out to be 9 or 12. Yeah, it's not expensive.
Right, on PS4. Mm-hmm. And if you're looking for something to do for like an evening, it's only a couple hours long, basically. Think of it as like a feature movie that I can easily recommend it to anybody who likes that.
I have not played Erica, genre. But I want to add to what Johnny's saying. I can easily recommend Erica above Man of Medan.
Man of Medan.
Cost-wise, performance-wise, performances-wise, I have no question in my mind that Erica is better. And that was by watching Reg's stream for a little while and then Johnny's stream for a little while. And I thought those performances were very good in Erica. Very good. Like, interactive movie, but a good movie, too. Because we can get an interactive movie. The movie's shit. If it's Hawk the Slayer, who gives a fuck? It's a bad movie. So it's
get your cell phone out.
Yeah, if it's me doing it, it's going to suck. But it was... They're really good. And then Johnny was saying... I watched Johnny play with the cell phone. Totally seemed to be streamlined. But then prior, I had either talked to Reg or watched his. And no, he tweeted in our Discord... posted in the Discord said, I'm trying it now. I don't like the phone. So Reg, what was with the phone? What were you experiencing?
Right. I mean, it already started off badly. Started the game and told me like, really recommended to use the cell phone app. So okay, I mean, why not? Then I got the phone out, tried to look for the app, couldn't even find it. Had to open up a browser, use Google's to find the app because it was, I don't know, covered on page 20 on the Play Store.
I found it first page, man. I think you're just getting old, Reg.
No. No. But thanks. Thanks for the vote of confidence.
Yeah, exactly.
anyway, started that shit and started playing. It worked at first. Like, input was instantly on the screen, all good. But then it started to randomly just go into the pause screen without me touching the phone or anything.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
And that was super annoying. So I switched over to controller, which actually worked pretty well. Mm-hmm. There's really no point in using the phone app in my experience. I played through the whole game with just the controller.
Yeah, it doesn't really add.
You might have more battery on your phone than
yeah.
DualShock, it's with
the touchpad. There's really only one single segment in there. That
did you hear Silver?
Silver
slid in a PS4 joke. He said, you probably have more battery power on your cell phone, though, than the PS4 controller.
I would hope so.
Which you do. But the game's only, well, at least for me, it was only 1.5 hours long. So that's about right for the PlayStation controller.
Yeah, it's a little long.
That's probably the first time you use the touchpad on your DualShock,
too. That is true. Yeah. So that actually worked pretty well, apart from one scene which required you to do more precision with the touchpad, which the controller touchpad really doesn't have. But as far as I could tell, this scene was more for show. It doesn't really have any impact on how well you write this stuff. It didn't really matter. Apart from that, performances were really good. I thought the scenes were really good. The lighting was good. Like, it was a pretty good production. Very high production values for the game.
Anybody in chat, if you've played it, I'd like to hear what you thought. Silver, are you going to do this one?
Is it PlayStation exclusive?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, then probably not.
So there's another game that I reviewed, and I apologize, I can't remember the name. It's actually very good, but it was about a guy locked in a cellar and a cop trying to find him and him trying to escape. And it was also FMV at like 4K. You know, like super high quality. And that's what I loved about Contradiction. I loved about that game, and I love about Erica, is that, like, when they do it well, they have good lighting, but it's also interactive. There's just a really cool feeling to those when they're done very well. Erica looked next level. Like, it looked like a movie that you would go see. Yeah. You know, some weird viewpoints at times, because obviously, was it called The Bunker? Bunker, can you check? So all I know is the game that I'm talking about is no longer sold. The company went out of business, which is what I was going to bring up. I'm glad somebody said they think they know the name, is because Erica was, I think it was smart. One short game, boom, here it is, $9 or whatever. Like, just, yeah, thank you. The Bunker and Last Shift, yeah. That game, I did a review of that game, really liked it. But I think Erica was smart, right? Get a really good actress, really good couple side actors, do a short game with some interactivity, and hopefully we see more of those where it's just sort of like an experience. I think that's a good price. It's a little short, I will say, for $10. Because if you do, like, I'm not doing this, but if you did a movie comparison, you'd be like, a 2-hour movie is like this amount. This game's only an hour and a half, and it's this amount. I could see some people sort of questioning that. It would be nicer if it was more like maybe a 3, but...
Also... Yeah, the issue I had, like, I wanted to go back in and see, like, the alternate paths.
Right.
But they don't let you skip, and I'm not watching everything again.
They don't, so it didn't save checkpoints or something? Like, could you go back to a checkpoint?
No, the menu was very, very simple. You would have to restart and play again.
Yeah, similar
and
to
Telly.
You
can say, like, skip and skip towards the next, like, decision or something. It's, you have just to do the whole thing again if you want to go a different path.
I could totally see going back to it, though. I think it was interesting enough that a couple months from now, I might kind of sit down and do a very different...
Yeah, I wouldn't do it right away, but once you start forgetting some of the details, which, you know, depending on how many games you play, we talked about this. I think my question of the night was, like, you know, do you remember... How much do you remember games? Because we were talking about, it's like, it doesn't take me long unless the game's a standout for me to, you know, sort of. It just depends on the game, too. If it has an amazing artistic style, I might stick around. If it has But like, I was arguing with Silver for a good 45 minutes about fucking Roger Federer being in Virtual Fighter 1 and or Virtual Tennis 1, and I was dead set that he was in that because I remember the Dreamcast version of it, and he wasn't. He was in 3. So that goes to show you, like, it doesn't, like, those games, shit just rolls.
Yeah.
So if you can go a month or two and forget some of what's in Erica or Contradiction, going back and playing those, yeah, they make that money worth it. But I think, actually, $10 seems fair. $10 mm-hmm. seems fair. Now that, I mean, you know.
No, I mean, it's a really good production. So yeah. I'm feeling
and
okay.
In fact, it got me in the mood to actually pick up Contradiction. So I'll be playing that soon as well. Because I never played it. And
you didn't play that?
First time I saw it, I've never seen FMV, really. Like, the Contradiction, I saw it for a bit when it came out. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what is this? You know? And now that I know what that kind of thing is about, and I really dug this one, I think I'm going to enjoy that other one. That's more about piecing stuff together.
I did it.
Right.
Reg did it.
Yeah.
I think
her story as well.
By Reg. Back to Reg. I think Silver did it. Did you do Contradiction as well, Silver?
No, I don't.
You
I don't
didn't?
Think
okay.
I did, actually.
There were a couple other people in the chat, and it's one of the few games I've seen where almost everybody, at least I remember who played it, were like all on the side of thinking it was awesome. Reg will be back. Don't worry. Let's see. What else do we got? We talked about Erica. We talked about that. I have about... I've got longer, so we can go a little longer. It's probably about time for me to let these guys go now that I think about it. Roger Federer and Virtual Fighter. No, I said Virtual Fighter and then corrected it to Virtual Tennis.
that would have been funny, though.
Federer and... John McEnroe would have made more sense with how aggressive he was.
True.
Wouldn't that have been awesome? Yeah. This tennis lately, I'm always telling people, get excited about something that's not in your bailiwick, you know, whenever you can. And poker was mine for a while, but lately it has been tennis, and I've been watching the U.S. Open. Man, it's been an absolute blast watching that and just seeing, like, some of the great players. Because I've missed them over time. You know, you get ready to do them and you get ready to watch tennis, and then it's like not a major thing on my side. And then jumping back in here recently after a couple of years has been a blast. Hey, Reg.
Yo.
We thought maybe your area had been nuked. We weren't quite
sure.
Well,
yeah, I don't know. I restarted Discord and then it took forever to reconnect again as well.
Yeah. That'll be it for us. I got to get going. I do want to say, if anybody gets a chance, I'd absolutely love for you to check out the Patreon. If you can't, I get it. These always go live now. If you're here on YouTube, I'm assuming most of the YouTube folks have left. They're like, wow, I didn't know I was following this douchebag. This is the first time I've seen him live. He's out, unsubscribing. But if not, you can also find the International Podcast on Anchor and on Spotify and on what else? Anchor, Spotify.
iTunes,
yeah, you can find us. And I would love for you guys to go and leave a review. If you're going to leave a shitty review, man, whatever, it's a review. But you'd be surprised. I didn't realize how much reviews can help push a... We were doing really well there for a while, just by a couple people reviewing, going up in charts. It was pretty crazy. But the International Podcast is on there. And then I will be covering Dark Crystal from Netflix. And then Amazon has Carnival. What's it called? The fantasy one.
Bloom. Something Carnival something Orlando Bloom.
Come on, Carnival Row. So that's right, like magic and like London and, you know, past time frame. That's all the shit that I absolutely adore. So that's a TV show. We do breakdowns of TV shows on that podcast as well. So if you subscribe there, cost you nothing to subscribe on those. You'll absolutely be able to check them out. Is that about it? What are you guys going to stream this weekend, Johnny, Ridge? Anything? Or today?
Yeah, I'm going to finish Control and get ready for Borderlands next week. So I'll probably do something Borderlands themed. And then we're going to move into Gears, or into Gear, I guess. Okay, anyway, I apologize for that one. But we'll see. Yeah, we'll see. Hopefully we can get a collaboration for Gears. That would be really cool because it's got up to 5 player.
Yeah, for sure. What about you there?
I'd be up for that.
What about you there, Reg?
Yeah, today I started Astral Chain, and I will continue that on Sunday.
What about you, Silver? Once you move to Mixer, what's the plan?
If I am streaming, it'll probably be Fire Emblem. Yeah.
Is that a boring game to stream? Because it looks boring to watch and play and experience. Do people watch
more
it?
Boring to play stream than it is to play.
Just looks
so true. Pretty fun.
Boring.
True.
I'll have to check it out. I think everybody else likes it. I think everybody I know is like that game, right? There isn't really any.
Well, it's kind of like XCOM. Like if you have a way of narrating the battles in like an analytical way and explaining a strategy, I think it can be pretty cool for sure.
Okay. Because just what I've seen of it. Again, I haven't got this one. I did have one Fire Emblem for
in silence. Then, I think it would be pretty boring to watch.
Text. I'm going to stream a text game in total silence. Sup, everybody. And then just get like Zork or something. Something ancient. No discussion. And me messing up a lot. Typing and be like, grab cave entrance. There is no grab area on the cave entrance. Touch cave entrance. Still no cave entrance to touch. Fondle cave entrance. And just for hours. And just see what happens. Well, I can tell you what had happened. I'd have nobody watching. But I think there's people who stream in complete silence, though. I've seen a couple, or at least Nor. Watch Nor, and Nor will stream in silence for a good.
That's true.
Well, some people can pull it off, but it's the same thing with, like, no webcam. Why would you make it harder on yourself to succeed? Some people are the exception.
Unless
but
you was fucked.
Why wouldn't you?
If you are fucked up looking. Like, if your own parents are like, damn. Then I think no cam makes sense. I'm just saying.
Or maybe like a face rig.
I mean, on the other hand, that might actually draw more viewers.
Bucket.
Exactly.
A bucket with eyes cut out of the tin. Just put that on and be like, with your voice echoing inside the metal. Henry.
Well, I love that part about Assassin's Creed Origins, right? So there we go. Perfect. True.
Oh, and last but not least, that's something we should mention. Assassin's Creed Odyssey is getting its Discovery Tour thing. I think it's next month is getting the tour.
I think the first episode of the DLC is still free at the moment.
It is Atlantis. You want to claim it? Atlantis is free for some certain amount of time. I don't know how long. So there's my Patreon. If you want to go there and support the channel, feel free. If you want to subscribe to Everybody and Better with Friends, lower left-hand corner, you can subscribe to them. These guys can also put the word comment or whatever they want in our chat if you want to right-click on them. But I would instead just go to the Better with Friends. That way you can subscribe to everybody there. Swamp Donkey, he streams a little later in the night than the rest of us. And then Sleeve
is the night shift.
Yeah, he's the night shift.
So we got all time slots covered. Between all
you guys definitely do. I wake up and I'm like, all right, I'm ready. You guys, dude, we've been up for like 15 hours. So with Swamp Donkey, I always feel bad. It's like everybody's asleep and gone, and he's just there. He's like, I'm gonna stream everybody. Nobody signed into Discord. It's just tumbleweed. Yeah,
it's like 3 a.m. for us.
Digital tumbleweed rolling by. Yeah. But I think that's it for us. Thank you everybody for watching the podcast. I know for the most part you were here for that stream, which is also good. I was happy to hijack it and get some viewers in here. As for myself, you guys should expect Greedfall review coming in, we'll say 2 weeks. I'll just say that until I find the embargo time. And that's it for us. Peace out and enjoy the rest of your week.
Bye-bye.
Take care.